great guest tonight. We have Mahala, who does the Planetary Alert newsletter, and it's pretty amazing. She's been very right on about the astrological influences and other planetary influences that are happening and what this means for our future. So I want to bring Mahala on right away because we are a little delayed. I'm going to skip some other things and just get right into it. Mahala, are you there? Hello. Mahala, anybody home? I think we're either lost the connection or hopefully we're still airing. I hope somebody's listening there in the studio. We seem to not have our guest.
Are you there? One moment, please, and I'll flash in the guest.
Do we have our guest?
One moment. Just a second, please.
Flash after it rings.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if it rings. What's that? Second. Why is this not working? You still there?
Yeah.
This just... Now, how does he do this? I know he flashes... And it should work, but I can't seem to. I got James. Oh my goodness, am I actually on this thing? Oh, James, I'd hang my head in shame, but I can't because it's too funny. Oh, and it's happening to you. Let's see here. I'm pressing flash on this button. That's all I should have to do, right? Flash and dialing the other number, and we're okie dokie. But that doesn't seem to be the case here now.
Have you connected with her yet?
No, I have. I've got you on the phone, actually. We're both live right now on air.
Oh, okay.
Which is not a good thing. So I just don't get this.
Well, maybe it'll help everybody else out, when they're dealing with their own problems.
You never. You know, and everybody abandoned me, James. Hold on, let me try this again. How come the? Oh, this is fair. Not fair. Let's see. You know, James, I'm going to have to get an expert. Sorry, I'm dying. Oh, gosh. Give me a minute so I can locate my brother. I'm going to get him down here. It'll take 10 seconds.
Okay.
Bye.
I'll just go ahead and talk. One of the things about Mahala's work is that she's hit right on some major... events in our history, you might say. We've had a lot of major shifts. You might talk about wars and outbreaks and things of that nature. And when these planets align, like the influence of Mars and other planets, the warring nature and things like that, when they have these alignments, it seems almost every time we have these major skirmishes break out in the areas that are affected most by these launches. But hopefully we can get the professionals pretty quick to give you the real information about this. A lot of people, we talked about the information coming in up to the 28th, where there was a huge energy shift. It really affected a lot of people. A lot of people were in the process going through a lot of shifts in energy. But it seems that we made it through that one. We made it through the lunar and the solar eclipse, the solar eclipse on the 29th. And hopefully we'll continue to move in this awakening healing process without any major glitches. But, it's all up to us as to what we do with these new energies coming in. One of the things I was told is that the denser you are, the more you're holding on to the control issues and the old wounds and traumas and things of that nature, that the harder these energies are going to impact you. And a lot of the celestial information we've been getting has been saying very clearly we have to release the past. They say that over and over again because the past is creating our tomorrow. And the old grudges and the old wounds and traumas and the old hurts and pains and sadness and sorrows, those are all manifesting right now. I love what Mary used to say, she used to say worry is a form of prayer. So whatever you worry about or whatever you focus on, you know, we draw to it. We magnetize people and events to us according to our consciousness. But there's other influences as well that seem to accelerate this process, and universal lessons that come in that are aligned with these new energies as they come in. And hopefully we'll get Mahala on here shortly to give us a little more insights into the nature of these energies and what's happening. Pretty much as we speak, there's a major alignment happening and lunar influences. So we've got a little technical difficulty here in getting Mahala on. I think we're going to have her on shortly here. We've got Mr. Wizard coming in. He's probably taking a nap, the regular engineer that does all this, but you know, hopefully we'll get him on and get things going.
We're getting Malta on, right?
We've got a little critter in the background. Help us out with the dead air. But there's so much coming up right now. I think we're getting ready for a quantum shift, you know, in consciousness. We can hear all kinds of strange energies moving around here. Yeah, there seems to be. I think we're getting closer, hopefully. Okay. Getting our guest on here. You have to bear with us. This is a brand new show, and we've got all new equipment. I have all new equipment here. I just purchased a wonderful broadcast host unit. I hope it's not mine making all that noise.
The guest is on the line.
Okay, are we on? There's nobody there for me.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Mahala, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Great. Hang on here. Let me turn mine up. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're off to a little slow start here.
Uh-huh.
You'll have to speak up. Are you on a headset or is it a regular phone?
It's a regular phone.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
The signal is very, can barely hear you.
Let me try this other phone. Hold on. Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little better.
Okay, I'll use
that one. That's great. Actually, that's great.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome. Okay, we had I don't know if you heard, but we had all kinds of technical difficulty in switching things on and getting things going, but...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we're off to a late start here.
Uh-huh.
But I already introduced you about your planetary alert and the work that you do, and I guess we can just get into it. Do you have any information for us now on some of these upcoming...
Uh-huh. Except that it's kind of hard to hear you on this phone.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I don't know what I can do on that. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so now what was the question?
Okay, well, we seem to be moving through all these different phases and shifts in consciousness and energy and planetary influences and things of that nature. And I was telling the audience that you're probably one of the best at hitting the nail right on the head with these shifts and energies that are coming in.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, concerning how they affect consciousness and the history of humanity and things of that nature. So, yeah, so I thought maybe we could just get right into it.
Okay, well, we can talk about what's going on in the heavens right at this minute as we speak.
Exactly, that sounds great.
Yeah. Well, I think this is kind of like a major sign in the sky. Because the moon is eclipsing the Palladian system.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have information from the Palladians, no contact with them. And the Mayan calendar is based on the Palladian system, you know, and the planet Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this last eclipse on March 29th, when the sun went dark, the planet Venus appeared in the heavens. And so this is really highlighting all of the Venus stuff. And Venus is known as the woman goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is kind of telling us that there's something really special going on right now in regard to the goddess energy manifesting more on Earth, which is, of course, the love vibration that's within everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this eclipse is kind of like a repeat of the eclipse that happened in 1987, because there were, it takes 19 years for a cycle, and so there was an eclipse in 1987 on 9 degrees Aries, and after that, or right before that, we had the supernova that happened, and then we had the harmonic convergence, which, you know, was based on the Mayan dream spell calendar.
Yeah.
And that was the first, I think it was the first, that's the first worldwide event I was aware of, that where everyone got together and prayed and meditated for peace, et cetera.
Oh, it's amazing what collective consciousness can do.
Right. And so this eclipse was kind of like the culmination of it. And so what the eclipse in 1987 brought on, then this is like the climax of it. And so now we move into a different stage. It's like the completing of that 19-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're going into a different stage of that same cycle, or a higher level, I should say.
So we're getting ready for another, like, quantum leap, you might say, in consciousness.
I would say so.
Evolution.
Yes, and especially that, you know, you talked about the wave that came in on March 28th, you know, the culmination of it.
Yeah.
From the galactic center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is very, very important because, well, I know that the people I know were totally whacked out all week, you know, with the energy that was coming in. It just like it purged out all of the old stuff. In fact, it was the last couple weeks I experienced it for 2 weeks where it was, you know, kind of like major stuff surfacing to be released.
Yeah, I think people that are more sensitive seem to feel it a little early, because I've always seen the energies almost about 2 weeks, at least a week, when they give me this information about these waves coming in, that it's usually at least a week or 2 weeks before, and it's still shaking things up after, because people have to assimilate the new energy.
Yes, right. Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people that are very sensitive out there, called empaths, that feel all of the trauma that's going on in the earth.
Yeah, they need to just lay down and let it move through, because if you don't, it's just going to knock you over.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
So that's what I see. Now is the time to just relax, lay down, and, you know, take that quiet time and learn to turn things over and just let it go and let the process do its work.
Right. Move with the synchronicity of life.
Mm-hmm.
Let God take over instead of, or the higher consciousness instead of our conscious mind, and flow with the force.
Oh, exactly. We can sure use the feminine energy coming in right now, because this patriarchal energy is just run amok.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, very much. And also what I got today when I was just, you know, thinking about it, about the Pleiadian constellation, which is the seven sisters,
mm-hmm.
Being eclipsed. Well, our solar system goes around the Pleiadian system, you know, the Alcyon, the central sun, or, you know, for our solar system type of thing. And so it takes 26,000 years to go around there. And I think that this is the sign that we've completed that 26,000-year cycle.
Boy, I'd be very happy to complete whatever cycle we're on, you know,
right,
onto a new one.
Yeah, so people always ask, well, when are we going into the age of Aquarius? You know, and among astrologers, there's all kinds of debate, because they say, oh, we're not going to enter into it by precession of the equinox until, like, 300 years or 400 years from now. And I was wondering, well, that sounds, you know, kind of like weird. So I said, there must be something else that they're basing the cycles on instead of that. And so if this is the case, and if we're finishing it, then it's measured a little different than people say.
Yeah,
and
I understand. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and like in 1962,
mm-hmm.
when all of the planets, the majority of the planets lined up in the sign of Aquarius, that was, I think, the very beginning of the just, you know, first energy of Aquarius coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they had the 60s, you know, and the song, This is the Dawning of the Age of Aquarius, you know, when that became famous, yeah. And so I think that was the very beginning of it. And then I think that, like, right now, it's kind of like the culmination of it. And so I think that we're finishing up. That doesn't mean that everything's just going to stop and we'll be in another one, you know, like, instantly like that, because there's still a lot of garbage that has to be completed on the Earth. But I think that now people are going to have the opportunity to really get into the higher consciousness, or the bliss consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
At least those that are high enough frequency to be able to do that when all this stuff is going on in the Earth.
Well, just on a base practical level, the age of Aquarius, it's the water bearer, right? That pours the pitcher of water on the over the.
Well, I've always questioned that too, because Aquarius is an air sign. You know, and in the stone zodiac that's in England, if for the sign of Aquarius, they have a bird, an eagle.
Hmm.
And so I thought, well, wow, that makes more sense because Aquarius is an air sign and it rules light. So basically we're moving into the age of light.
Yeah.
And so there'll be a lot, and there's been a lot of light coming in, well, since about 62 when, you know, the planets lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we're going and are in basically the age of light now.
Well,
and knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, there's a Russian scientist that said that our whole heliosphere, or solar system, you might say, is as it's moving into a new place in the universe, it's 1,000 times brighter on its leading edge. And,
yes, I've heard that too.
And all the planets are almost 4 times brighter, and they're going through atmospheric changes. And look at what's happening in our atmosphere. You know, it's pretty amazing. So, and it, you know, the solar cycles actually govern most of this. And
yes, it does.
The sun is reacting to even another force, which is
that's right.
The galactic core or some other element that's happening.
Uh-huh. Right. And then with Pluto being lined up with the galactic center, you know, focusing that energy to us too. And that's a real high energy. People say that that's like coming in from the heart of our galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically the center of it, but some people say it's the heart. And so that would be, you know, like a different type of an energy coming in and focus through Pluto and then focus through the sun and then us here on Earth.
I have a question. When these planets align, some people will say, well, it's blocking the sun, but it also could act as a bridger where,
yes, right,
where the energy would jump from that planet to the Earth and actually bridge the energies and make them more intense.
Right. And just like this eclipse that we just had. You know, I think because when you have an eclipse, the sun is blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the eclipse, they foretell things to come, you know? And so and then the Pleiades being eclipsed tonight by the moon, that's like a bridge too, you know? And also, what's really interesting is because, you know, like the Mayan calendar is based on the number 13 and the number 52.
Yeah.
The cycle of Venus is 104 years. Half of that is 52, and where the center of the eclipse was, you know, like over the Middle East, over Greece and that area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was over, there were like 10,000 people that gathered on the where the ruins are of the pillars of Apollo's temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Apollo was the father of Asclepius, and the old Asclepius site is right there too. Okay, well, the 13th sign in the zodiac, which, you know, the Mayans and the Druids and the Arabs and all of them, they have a 13 zodiac instead of the 12 like we have. And so the 13th sign is actually Asclepius, or it has another name called, if I can pronounce it right, Ophicus. But the other name of it is for Asclepius. And that's the 13th sign of the zodiac, which is the woman sign, you know, the goddess. And so, and number 13 is a goddess number. And so with the eclipse being over the ancient site of Asclepius, I think that this is really important because that's another sign that the goddess woman, you know, loving energy is will now be coming forward on Earth.
It seems to be going in that direction, you know, and you know, we can sure use it.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
That's for sure.
But on the other hand, there's always two sides to an energy that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think many people notice that where the path of the darkness of the eclipse went, there was like a tourist boat went down in Bahrain, you know, right there in the Middle East. And
uh-huh.
And then they had the earthquakes in Iran.
Yeah.
That did quite a bit of damage. And so wherever the umbra of an eclipse is, that's where major events happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's not just a one day thing. And so the reason that it was triggered there was because the moon triggered it, you know, so it didn't happen on the eclipse day. It had to wait until the moon triggered the planets. and then the earthquake happened over there, which, you know, it's really easy to predict that, because it's just, it always happens. And then there's also, there was the last lunar eclipse, which was on March 14th. That was directly over the Middle East. And so that set up the whole thing. So when the solar eclipse happened, you know that those events could happen over there. But there's still more to happen because we're in a very, very, very intense energy period. And we have the planet Mars that is opposing Pluto in the heavens right now.
Uh-oh.
And that's a violent, fiery, explosive, warlike energy. And you can tell, well, like right over in Israel today, they're having, you know, major challenges and stuff like that. And so this energy is not good. And this energy is going to be, in fact, real strong until the full moon of April and probably even a week past that. And so be prepared for anything during this time period because it's just very volatile.
And with this energy, it seems like it would just amplify everything. It would amplify, you know, there's a lot of people trying to make changes and things of that nature and stop the war, and it almost amplify that as well, which is another side of the warring energy, you might say.
Right. And Mars, you know, has always been considered the war planet, you know, and that's how people perceive it. Of course, we could change our perception of it and switch it around to, you know, start calling the peace planet. But right now it's still in old system considered the war planet, and it's also the energy planet. And so we have all this energy opposing Pluto that's lined up with the galactic center, and that really, really intensifies everything.
So it seems anybody with that warlike nature or that kind of frequency or vibration is going to come forward during this time and be seen for what they are, you might say.
Yes, right. Yes. And people tend to freak out, you know, like they do in the full moon. So it's like a full moon, a constant full moon, that's totally amplified.
Oh, no. This is going to be an interesting,
right.
Interesting month. Have you heard of Jim Berkman's work?
Yes, I have.
He uses the moon quite a bit, and lost animals and things like that. And whenever he says, you know, he looks at the tides, and when the tides are high, you know, that's when he does his earthquake prediction.
Oh, yes, right.
He's been very accurate.
Yes, he has been.
The lost animals and the moon animals and tides.
Right. Yeah, animals can definitely feel it. A lot of people can feel them coming, too.
Have you noticed, I know my animals here, I've got a couple dogs and cats and chickens and all that stuff, but I noticed the animals are just amped up right now.
Uh-huh. That's from the intense energy.
Yeah, they have all this energy, and they're kind of going nuts.
Right. I say, what can I do with it?
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing, too, because this energy, you know, connected with the Palladian system,
mm-hmm.
It's directly lined up with the West Coast, because the West Coast is under the Taurus constellation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, like it says in the Bible, well, actually the Book of Enoch that was taken out of the Bible, that the Pacific Northwest is in New Jerusalem, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's the area from Canada down to Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason that it is because it lines up directly with Elcyon in the Palladian constellation.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so in the last couple of days, and the reason that the moon is occulting Pluto right now, because the moon's been going through the Taurus constellation. And so it's right there. And so as far, you know, like I have a map where I put the planets on, you know, and then I can tell where the events are going to happen. And so this is based on, there's 360 degrees on the world map. And so you just divide it by 12 and it comes out, you know, like 30 degrees each. And so each segment is a certain sign of the zodiac. And so like Richard Hoagland, you know, always says that the sun is exalted at 19.5 degrees Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be right over Hawaii.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so right now the sun is in Aries, and so it's activating that area, and it goes up to Alaska. But then there's other planets that are in different places that are very, very strong right now, like the Mars-Pluto thing. And just tonight I heard on the news that there were more tornadoes that went up, you know, like the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just picture the Mississippi River from New Orleans, you know, straight up, and that's been the path of those tornadoes, and that's where the Mars and Pluto come together. And so that's a really strong point. So with this Mars-Pluto activation, you know, they had a tornado coming up there today.
Yeah,
and so that's an example of how it works.
It seems like it's pretty constant there lately. They've been having one tornado after another after another.
Yes, and that's because Pluto's stationary there. And it affects both sides of it, you know, like the fires in Oklahoma and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Mars was going across them, then that was all activated. And so now it's getting closer to, you know, pretty much where the tornadoes are coming in. And so that will still be activated for quite a while. And it also brings in the Yellowstone. When Mars first started going through Gemini, you could just watch as it, first there was an earthquake off the coast, you know, and then it went across Yellowstone, and then they had this article that Yellowstone was heating up, and then, you know, it started moving. And like when the Katrina came in, Pluto and Mars were right together in that same spot with the moon exactly on the latitude over where the hurricane came in. Pretty amazing to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how these influences affect nature.
Uh-huh, right. And then with this eclipse that went up from Brazil across the Atlantic Ocean, up across Europe, and Spain was, I mean, not Spain, but France. They had the rioting, you know, at the time of the eclipse. And then it went over the Middle East and up into Asia. Well, all the hurricanes are formed, you know, just off of Africa there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come into the Gulf Coast. And so being that the eclipse was there, this means that it leaves kind of like an energy point in space, which means that when we get into the hurricane season, there'll be more coming in, because every time a planet activates that eclipse point, you know, it'll stir up another hurricane.
Yeah, I know Australia's been getting hit by these cyclones.
Yes.
That have been tearing it apart. They've been...
Right. And the reason that they're getting them is because Mercury has been in the sign of Pisces, and that's right over where the cyclones are coming there. And Mercury and Uranus have been conjunct. And Mercury and Uranus conjunct bring unexpected things, and they bring difficulties in communication and like a TV show and stuff like that, you know. It kind of disrupts everything, but it also brings winds and storms. And so Australia's had two major ones, and that's because of Mercury being conjunct Uranus right now. And there was also an earthquake right there just above New Zealand, too. That was a 6.5, I think. That just happened within the past day or so.
Yeah, it just seems to be, you follow these alignments around, you can just, you know, we should get rid of the weathermen, you know, and have your planetary alert on there.
Right.
What's going on?
That's right, sir. This is going to happen. No, but there's good news, though, because, you know, like, one of the most important points in a person's chart is the node, the moon's node,
mm-hmm.
And the Vedic astrologers take that into consideration very much, and they really look at that point in space. Well, the Western astrologers haven't really paid that much attention to it, although they're starting to. Well, for the last almost a year and a half, the node, it's called the dragon's head and the dragon's tail, has been going through the sign of Aries. And so Aries is ruled by Mars. And so Mars being the warlike planet, you know, violent planet, that's why there's been so much violence in the last year or so. And so, but the node is getting ready to move. And at the summer solstice, the node moves into Pisces. And so that will be an entirely different vibration. And Pisces is ruled by Neptune, which is also a higher octave than Venus, you know, in the goddess energy.
Yes.
And Neptune has a opportunity to dissolve things.
Mm-hmm.
So all the structures on the Earth are just going to kind of dissolve as soon as Neptune goes into Pisces. But on the positive level of that, Pisces is also the sign of, because it's the last sign in the zodiac, it's a sign of cosmic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to give people the opportunity to vibrate to that frequency and move into bliss consciousness. And if you're in bliss consciousness, it's much easier to get through these changes that are transpiring on Earth.
So it is so important to maintain your center through these changes and just move forward with it and go with the flow and with the loving detachment. That's the only way we're going to get through these changes.
That's right.
I think a little forewarning is great too, so we can.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So from June of this year, June 21st, for a year and a half, which brings it to about December of 2007. Neptune will be, the node will be in Pisces. And so that's the time period. And there's also another thing, because Pluto will be in the sign of Sag until, September of 2007. So this is a real turning point too, when the planetary energy changes like that. And so, Pluto will be moving into Capricorn then, and will have an entirely different vibration than it did as it was going through Sagittarius. Sagittarius rules religion, for one thing. It rules the banks. And I've been expecting a major thing with the money system or the banks, because of that aspect, especially, like it's going to be triggered with the Mars-Pluto thing here. And so I think that there's probably, I know that the euro is coming out, trading oil for euros.
Yeah.
And so the dollar's, starting going down. So I think that there's more stuff than that going on behind the scenes that we don't know of with the bankers. And I think that there's going to be a real change here in the banking system before too long.
Constant sleeping, they let people get up to where they're doing pretty good and they're doing all right, and then they pull the rug out from under them, and then they go buy up everything for a penny on a dollar, and then they do it again. It seems to be a constant cycle, and a lot of people miss that,
Get
caught up in it.
Right. So anyways, that's one of the challenges, that's approaching us here.
Yeah, you think it's economic. So what we're looking at right now is just basically a social, economic, and physical urgence on every level.
Yes, definitely, right. And because another very, very important aspect is that at the solar eclipse, Mars was on 20 degrees Gemini. Now, in Bush's chart, that's where his node is, and that was his destiny. So when he was elected, president, like the first time, he came in and his job was to be a war president. That's the part he chose to play in this drama.
Yeah.
And so now, right. So we have kind of like the same energy in effect right now as we speak, as we did when we went into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of wondering how this energy is going to turn out. I noticed that they had Iran on the TV again tonight, And so anyways, and then Mars, like in the United States chart is the 20 degrees Gemini. And so Mars is right there too, activating the United States chart. And so this could work out in different ways. Bush is our president. And if you have energy like that in effect, he could either react and do something or it could be coming out as all of the, secrets that are being uncovered, with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And like his rating being down to 34%.
Is it that high?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it's that high. I know that poll they did about the 911 conspiracy, as far as the government covering things up or being directly involved in it, was up to 89%.
I know it. Isn't that amazing?
That was amazing when I saw that.
It shows that people are really waking up.
And they told me, this is information I got, they said that there'd be a grand uncovering, and these new energies that are coming in are going to, in a way, target tyranny or those that have the real, that just lust for power and money, basically. That's all they're after.
Right.
They want to control everything and everyone, and
right.
There are certain groups that are doing that. But the problem is that's a very dense vibration.
Right.
And it's also not very smart.
Right.
It's clever, but not wise.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
You can't run karma. How smart do you have to be to realize the basic law of karma?
Uh-huh.
So, what they told me was that this a lot of these energies coming in, they've been stressing over and over that big changes are coming. And through the things that they were saying was that there would be a grand uncovering, that everything would be surfacing, everything hidden.
Right, and it's really starting to.
Yeah, and they said the other thing that would be coming in was two things. They said that the energies are bringing in such a high frequency that everybody has to go. You know, everybody has to go with the shift. And it's not going to fare well for the people that are holding on to that low frequency consciousness. Their bodies aren't going to be able to, you know, every disease has a corresponding attitude and emotion. And
that's right.
And their bodies are going to fail when these energies come in.
Yeah, that's right. That's why there's so many people leaving right now.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's another aspect that's coming up here real shortly, too, that's going to take more people out because the node, you know, sometimes the node, like with Saturn, it can bring death, you know. And so we have here Saturn on 4 degrees Leo and the node in 4 degrees Aries. And this is going to be in effect for almost the whole month of April. And so it looks like there'll be like more than one. Well, like that ship went down. You know, there are 57 people that left all at one time in that. And so I think that there'll be more events coming up this month that are going to take out more people.
I think there's numbers of people leaving the planet that we don't even have a clue about because we're not being, you know, given the real numbers, you know, as far as casualties.
Right.
On both sides of the war and casualties in these natural disasters.
That's right.
And things of that nature. I think if we really knew, you know, and then you add the, you know, I hate to get into the dark end of it, but yeah, the chemtrail casualties, you know. The people dying of opportunistic diseases because their immune systems are knocked down to zero. When you add all that up, it's probably an astronomical number of people leaving the planet.
Right, that's right, yeah. And there's another thing going on, like with Saturn in Leo, because Leo rules kings and queens and leaders, and being Saturn is a testing planet. You know, like, I do revelations a little different than other people do. And as far as I can tell, we're in the 19th and the 20th chapter of Revelations. And, the 19th talks about a war and then the 20th and the coming of the white ships. You know, and then the 20th chapter talks about the downfall of the controllers. Well, as far as I can see in astrology, if Saturn is a karmic planet and it's in Leo, which rules the leaders, it looks like we're in the time period of the downfall of the leaders, and Saturn will be in Leo until September of 2007.
Well, you know, that really makes, this is all tying in incredibly to the information I've been getting because, you know, they're saying this is the last waltz of the tyrants. You know, this is the last hurrah, and, you know, these shifts of energy coming in, especially these shifts from galactic core.
Yes, yes.
That they seem to accelerate whatever else is going on, you know, 1,000 billion
times
or whatever, I don't know. They're intense when they bust loose with those, so.
Right. And then they're talking about the solar flares. They're expecting them to get very strong.
Yeah.
Maybe even starting this year.
Yeah, I think 2007, they're supposed to be 50% stronger,
right,
according to their
right
dynamics.
And the way I do Bible prophecies, you know, like it talks about like the 7-year time periods, you know.
Yeah.
And so the three, Clinton and Arafat and the president of Israel signed a peace treaty on September 13th of 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 years later, you know, there was pretty, you know, I mean, there's always war going on, but it was kind of quiet, you know, during that time period.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the prophecy. And then in September of 2000, that's when all the violence started in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just went really, really violent for about, I don't know, well, several years. Well, it's still going on. I mean, it's going on today. And so if you take the 7-year period of September of 2000 and then you take it into September of 2007, you know, that's the ending of the 7-year period according to the Bible. I'm not talking about the earth changes because the earth changes will continue on for a while, you know, because that's kind of on a roll. But as far as the Bible prophecies go, that's, as far as I'm concerned, the end of 2007, the prophecies are over and we're into the 21st and 22nd chapters, which talks about the new heaven and the new earth.
You know, it does seem to correspond with all the inner guidance I've been getting. It fits right into all of this because, you know, they've been saying over and over again that, and these are some of the Palladian contacts I have, they keep saying heaven will have its way, you know.
Right.
And,
yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
We
yeah.
are moving to heaven on earth, but we're going to have to go through a little hell to get there.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. So did you get the email where it's talking about the United States causing a light enough an atomic explosion in Nevada in June of this year?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if it's atomic. I think it's a chemical explosion, but it's a, what is it, something like a 15-ton?
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's nuclear, but, I mean, it is going to make a mushroom cloud and everything else. But you know, people are saying if they light that thing off, California is going to suffer.
Right, yeah, so that might fit in the prophecy that you have of the earthquake in California in June.
Yeah, because they've been telling us that, you know, probably 9 miles from San Francisco, there's a good chance that there's going to be a pretty big one.
Uh-huh.
And they said right after that in September on the coast of Oregon, and that is getting real active. They said it would probably follow, but, you know, these dates aren't exact, but they're kind of giving me a sequence of events to watch, and if these two happen, then these other events are going to follow, and, you know, and we are going to see the New Madrid go and Yellowstone, and there's also a major cauldron near the Mammoth Lake area that's very active that they're not talking about. You know, they're especially
right.
the one off the coast, they're keeping very quiet, but there's an active volcano going off there.
And yeah, there definitely is, right.
Yeah, throwing off 7-point quakes out there, you know. It's they say if that, I think it's the Cascadia Range, if that goes, the scientists are saying it's going to be 4 times stronger than the Indonesian phenomenon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a possibility because, you know, like the planet Jupiter is in Scorpio right now. And Taurus Scorpio is what rules the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Jupiter there, we're under pressure, you know, like for a whole year.
Okay.
And and there were a couple of times that I was really concerned about the coast, you know, like that was when the major storms came in. And they came into, well, up here in our area, you know, like there were 100-mile-an-hour winds. By Bangor, you know, off the coast here. And so we had 2 major storms during that. And Scorpio is in water, so there was a lot of water when they came in. Well, right now, you know, the sun being in Aries, the sun, you know, is coming in towards the coast. And so there's also a possibility, you know, when the sun comes over the coast that there can be another earthquake because then it triggers off Jupiter. And so Jupiter will be there for a whole year. Like when we had the 7.1 earthquake in Seattle,
yeah.
Saturn was on 25 degrees Taurus, and the moon on the day it happened was triggered off Saturn, and then we had a 7-point earthquake here in Seattle.
Yeah,
and that's how astrology works.
You know,
so now
funny.
We've got Jupiter over the coast.
What's funny is I'm actually registered on Jim Berkland's site,
uh-huh.
and I gave 2 weeks advance notice of that earthquake. And he sent me an email back saying, good one, how'd you do it? And I saw it before it happened, but, you know, it was a lot less damaging than the vision I had, but it did come right on schedule,
uh-huh.
which was amazing. So, you know, sometimes I think they show us these visions just to show us something radical in our visions just to get us.
Right, and
point,
you
know, and it may not be as severe as we see in the vision sometimes.
Right. Yes, that's true. And sometimes I think that there's help from a higher source.
Exactly.
When these things happen to kind of neutralize them.
Well, San Francisco, this is an interesting story. A lot of psychics and prophets, they are all seeing San Francisco going down.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, just a major quake. And another thing, too, is I gave the exact time and date of the San Francisco quake, too. And I missed the magnitude. I said it was going to be 6.9.
Uh-huh.
Were the real readings, but the first readings, but then they moved it up to, I think, 7.1. But, it's interesting that they're all seeing, and, you know, it did do a lot of damage, but they're all seeing that whole area just level.
Uh-huh.
And all the buildings coming down and glass everywhere, and, you know, what they were seeing was correct for that timeline.
Uh-huh.
Because that was what was on the books. But what they didn't realize is that there was these incredible huge craft that were flying right up to San Andreas, beaming these huge beams of light into it.
Uh-huh.
And there was all these reports. All these people saw this happening.
Uh-huh.
And these green spheres coming down and just sitting over the fault line. And my information was is they came and took some of the pressure off and changed the nature of the fault.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the sole reasons why, you know, San Francisco is still here, because of some divine, you might say, ET intervention, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting how that intervention can come from so many different levels, you know, angelic guides, ascended masters, whatever you want to call it. But there's also some very spiritually and technologically advanced ET
that's
out.
Right. But what do you think, okay, being that the 19th chapter of Revelations talked about, you know, like the white ships coming, you know, and like a whole army of ships,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I figured, okay, I was wondering how that is going to work out in prophecy. So what do you see for that particular event? Do you see the ships landing soon, or...
Well, you know, what I see is, what I've been told over and over is that we are going to get a lot of help through these
uh-huh.
changes and through this shift on many levels. And in the end, when we're right in the throes of these major changes, we're going to be seeing a lot of ships
uh-huh.
doing their work and helping us out. And we're going to get some phenomenal help, you know, to get through this shift. And, it's already started. I mean, there was a huge ship that just was two giant ships that we're seeing over, Canada just recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that.
There's some very large ships out there. Just two nights ago, I went out and filmed a huge ship flying right over the house here.
Uh-huh.
So, and they're here now. If people want to go out and look up at the skies, you can see them.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's just going to get more and more intense. And I'm seeing, too, that probably by summer here, we're going to have undeniable disclosure. And I think the real disclosure is going to come from the heavens.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's people on Earth trying to bring that about, but
uh-huh.
they're going to be backed up by the skies.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's really exciting. I hope too many people don't get freaked out about it, but it's kind of like general news, you know, about the UFOs now, so it should be just like an everyday thing. Although some people have, you know, like, they have such a fear of them, you know, that... Oh, you know, there have been like negative ones out there too, but they can't compare to the ones like us, you know, or the...
Yeah, there were low level contacts in the beginning, but we've evolved beyond that, and now the benevolent ones are coming in and putting a stop to the low level contacts. So basically we're moving into a major shift, and they're part of the shift. I think it's part of our evolutionary process to join.
I think so too. My theory is that in 1987, because of the harmonic convergence, that we moved into the fourth dimension then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like, and the fourth dimension is where everything happens, because that's like the astral level.
Yeah.
And all the fighting and everything goes on in that level. And so, like I was told a long time ago that we would move through that level very fast. And so we might be into the point where we're almost through that particular level, and then it would be time for the lower level ones to be gone, and then the contact would be with the higher ones.
Well, I tell you something really interesting. There's a lot of people with reverse speech and background noise, engineering, technology, or whatever. And what they're hearing is that it's over.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're hearing these low-level contacts whispering and talking, and they're very upset because they're out of here by May. They're saying that they have to be out of here by May, and they can no longer interfere with the evolutionary process.
Right. And you know what that might be? Because of the eclipse and the moon eclipse in the Pleiadian systems might say in the 26,000-year cycle's over.
Yeah, now it's time for the Pleiades to rule, you know, the divine feminine.
Right,
to come in.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, oh, the reptilians come from the Pleiadian system, you know? But
yeah.
They don't think about, like, all of the great masters, all of the artists and the musicians and all of the great masters of the past, they all came from the Pleiadian system.
Yeah. You know, basically most of our society came from, you know, the first two colonies of Atlantis and Lemuria were Pleiadian colonies.
Right.
They are the ones that started those colonies, but they attracted other star nations.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, all the prophets, even the Native Americans, all talk about the star nations coming in and helping us through, you know, these times and great shifts happening. And then, you know, they all talk about this wonderful 1,000 or 2,000 years of peace that follows it.
Right.
So almost every culture has a story, and they all seem to be pointing
right
now to this time.
And so that just means we just have to finish the 19th and 20th chapter of Revelation, and we're there.
That sounds good to me. Can't we just, like, speed dial through it, you know, or something?
Go fast forward.
I like that song, that old song. What was it, a song, Wake Me Up After the Millennium or something? There's
right.
A song about that, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of
well, we do live in exciting times, I must admit.
Yeah. I love what one guy said. He said, God, don't do boring things. You know, we're all created in the same image and likeness of God. You know, God's a real character. That's all I said.
Right, yeah. You know, I always thought, you know, like well, we do have that reptilian brain, you know, but people say that, like, we were made, the original creation was from the reptilians, you know, but God says that we were made in His, her image, you know,
mm-hmm.
The gods that messed around with us anyway. And so if we're created in their image, wouldn't we look like them?
Yeah, sounds like it to me. What's fun is we have two brains. We have the reptilian brain and the mammalian brain or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we actually have three brains because we have a brain, you know, in our heart.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a brain in our solar plexus.
But I noticed the reptilian mind, most of it, I'm not saying all reptilians because I don't want to pigeonhole anybody, but basically what it focuses on is survival.
Yeah, right.
It likes to hoard and control and conquer, and that's what it is. It's your survival mode. And the mammalian mind or whatever is more about family and community and cooperating, working together.
Right.
We have both those qualities within ourselves, and we need to shift our energies to the frontal lobes, you know, and start cooperating to get through these changes.
Right, and being happy.
Exactly, working together and, you know, focusing on the higher consciousness.
And the heart energy.
Heart energy, exactly, and bring that
right.
in.
And the Aquarian energy, you know, it's group consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, where people work together in the light. And hopefully can get along. I mean, we haven't been a very good example so far, but there's been a lot of interference. And I think that a lot of people, you know, like getting along, it's been because so many people have had to go through their challenges of releasing all of their stuff, you know, so they could get rid of all that and so they could vibrate on a higher frequency, because everything's about frequency.
It is.
And the higher frequency are, the more you can vibrate. And I don't think we could have had contact with the higher space beings until we reach the point where we could reach them on their level.
Exactly. We have to rise to the occasion. You know, right now we go after them with aggression.
Right.
And we try to shoot them down and steal their technology and convert it, you know, into the war industry. And people go, well, why haven't they landed on the White House lawn? Well, that's a no-brainer.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know? They should be, you know, if you go to ashrams and places where there's highly evolved spiritual people and, you know, lamas and yogis and things like that,
uh-huh.
you know, they see UFOs on a regular basis.
Right.
Often near the ashrams. They're attracted to that energy.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if you get a group consciousness that's focused on the universal principles of brother, sister, love and joy and peace and, you know, individual freedom and, you know, cooperation, working together in harmony.
Uh-huh.
You know, that attracts them. That's what brings them,
right.
them in. You know,
so. And that's really exciting to look forward to.
I see all kinds of places, you know, like our retreat center up here and other places growing like crazy and
uh-huh.
maintaining that frequency and joining the rest of the universe. It's just a matter of time.
Right. And, you know, there are an awful lot of people all around the world that do have light centers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and once we all connect, you know, it can be a huge network.
Yeah, we have to drop the ego totally, especially the spiritual ego, and just cooperate, period. That make that first priority, okay, we're going to cooperate in the awakening healing process.
Right.
Everybody can keep their images, they can worship whatever they want, but, you know, let's just focus on the basics.
Uh-huh, yeah. So people can just quiet their ego within them
mm-hmm.
and start listening to their intuition. You know, it might work out a little better.
Exactly. But that thing, that the ego, as you move up and the more energy you connect with and the higher you go up in your spiritual evolution, the ego wants to jump in all along the way and take over and say, I did that, I'm that, I'm that. And some pretty soon people fall off, you know, they lose their connection and fall off the path.
Uh-huh.
And it's not an easy one to maintain that and always empower the individual and not allow people to put you on a pedestal or worship you. It's hard to stay off that pedestal.
Right. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Exactly. I have a saying up here. I just said, you know, I'm nobody. I'm nothing, and I have nothing to offer, you know. I said, you know, but out of the nothing.
30 seconds.
So, well, we got to wrap it up here. We've got maybe 30 seconds to go. Is there anything you want to
say? Oh, well, yeah. I just wanted to reinforce that to be prepared for this time period, you know, up till full moon through April as we're going through Aries, you know, because there could be some unexpected things happening, you know, and it could be a little violent with this particular energy in there. So I suggest that everyone keep their themselves calm, cool, and collected.